Welcome to the Information Security Forum podcast. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert, and today we are here to talk about the threat horizon 2021, when the digital illusion shatters. In the studio with us, as always, is ISF Managing Director Steve Durbin. Let's get into the content here. By 2021, the world will be heavily digitized and connected, even more so than it already is. The race to develop next-generation technologies will enable innovative digital business models, and yet society will be critically dependent on technology to function. Coupled with heightened global mistrust and rising geopolitical tensions, this will lead to a cyber threat that is relentless, targeted, and disruptive. The operating environment for business will become increasingly volatile. The ISF recently released its annual Threat Horizon report, presenting 9 threats driven by recent global events and major developments. Today, Steve joins me to discuss the threat horizon and what this means for business leaders. Steve, there's been a huge progression of technology over the last few years. By 2021, the opportunities technology will open for businesses will seem limitless. What are the technologies, then, that organizations should look to adopt? And what are the consequences should those technologies not be managed properly?
I think, Tavia, if we look at the way that technology is changing, moving, impacting business, there are a couple of themes there that we haven't seen before. We've talked a lot about speed. We've talked a lot about, you know, volume of data. Technology, though, is really now facilitating and driving those elements. So when we talk about the impact they have on businesses, it's more about how businesses can take advantage of those technologies to really drive forward what they're all about in terms of increased shareholder value, growth, and so on. I think one of the biggest changes that we're going to see within the very near future is the real advent of 5G technology. That provides this infrastructure to deal with some of the massive volumes of data that are out there. And at speed. And that's the important piece. Because if we look at the way in which businesses need to be changing, the way in which our environment is changing, I'm thinking in particular of things like autonomous vehicles. I'm thinking of smart cities. I'm thinking of just pure marketing data, information about how we behave, perhaps in a shop. All of that is going to become very much more mainstream to the way that a business functions. And it's the 5G infrastructure that is going to enable that. And so whilst that presents a significant opportunity, there is obviously a threat associated with it too, because it's going to require us from the security standpoint to implement new ways of managing that speed and volume of information that we're getting. And it's going to be coming in at a pace that you and I simply can't handle. And so we're going to become very much more reliant upon technology. So we've got a situation where technology is out there driving businesses potentially forward, and yet businesses are becoming ever more dependent upon technology to interpret some of the information, some of the trends that that it's making available to them. And all of that takes us into an entirely different competitive paradigm. So for me, you know, if I look forward over the next couple of years, I see some very exciting changes that are coming about that are being facilitated by this shift in infrastructure that's coming about. It does mean, from a security standpoint, that we're going to have to get a lot smarter about how we provide some of the security around all of that. And we have to design that in. And that, for me, is one of the major opportunities from a security standpoint. You know, we've got this great opportunity as we are beginning to roll out some pretty life-changing infrastructure to build security into it by design at the beginning. And we're starting to see some organizations coming out and doing that now. But it isn't the kind of situation, I don't think, where we can afford to sit back and wait.
Right.
And I think that's been one of the criticisms around security in the past. You know, they haven't perhaps been invited to the party. They haven't been able to get involved at the outset in these sorts of things. For me, with a 5G rollout, you have to be involved from the outset because you have to plan it in.
Right. The benefit of all of this technological development for business and for government is increasing economic growth. But will an over-reliance on technology prove to be a weakness rather than a strength, do you think? What effect is this all going to have on the economy?
Well, technology certainly is becoming viewed as a massive economic growth driver. One of the things that we look at when we put together the Threat Horizon report is some of the political changes, some of the economic changes, societal changes that we need to understand as a backdrop to all of this. And for me anyway, we really are looking at this next industrial revolution, if you could put it that way, where technology is, yes, introducing new ways that we can do things, but our dependence on it has probably reached a level that we haven't seen before. And so that comes with downsides as well as benefits. And I think that one of the key challenges for everybody, whether you're an organization or actually an individual, is to really undertake some of that planning that says, okay, well, what do we do when the technology isn't there, when it doesn't exist? Because it will break, there's no question. And how do we really adapt to that so that we can get the best from it? So there is this dependency, certainly, that we have to understand. And I think that one of the things that we haven't done enough of as individuals and indeed as organizations is plan for the day when some of the technology doesn't work. And if we think back to what I was just saying about 5G infrastructure, of course, which is enabling some of the speeds that are required for autonomous vehicles, smart cities to operate effectively, we need to be building in some of the approaches that will allow us to still function, to operate, when the infrastructure isn't working in the way that it should.
Let's talk about the larger scale. The geopolitical arena is already extremely complex and extremely uncertain, with issues such as Brexit, trade tensions between the US and China, tensions rising between different nation states. And this is creating a lot of risk for business. So will we see this uncertainty spread, do you think, over the next couple of years? And is there any way that businesses can truly prepare?
I think if we look at the way that governments in particular are really trying to harness technology, it is seen as being, as I've said, an economic growth driver. What does that actually mean? It means that there is very much more dependence, if you like, on technology to fuel the way in which a country operates. Yet at the same time, that technology is going to be reducing potentially some of the employment in certain areas. So that's a concern that pretty much every government is trying to come to terms with at the moment. And yet at the same time, you know, if you look at security, we have zero unemployment potentially in cybersecurity. You can't find the right people to do the jobs that we have. So there is this sort of dilemma, if you like, between having the right skills for the way in which technology is developing, particularly in things like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and so on, but also then being able to make use of technology to really drive growth for not just individuals, but businesses and governments and societies. And one of the things that we're starting to see is an increase in the way in which the value that intellectual property has in terms of developing these new next generation of devices and machines and so on. Because that presents a competitive advantage, an ability to leapfrog another nation state. That's resulting in a lot more, I think, focus in terms of, you know, how do we understand what organizations might be doing to develop next generation technology? How can we get our hands on that next generation technology? How can we manufacture it? How can we produce it at costs that make sense? How do we roll it out effectively around the world for competitive advantage? And competitive advantage at the government level, at the societal level. And that, I think, is bringing about some quite interesting shifts, because we're also introducing new ways of using that technology. You know, if you think about some of the discussions that have taken place in the past around using social media to manipulate elections, for instance.
When has that ever happened?
Indeed. But so the whole paradigm is changing. And how we then adapt to that from a societal standpoint, I think, is a very interesting discussion. And it'll be very interesting to see how that pans out over a period of time. Fundamentally, though, what we are going to see is increase in technology, increase in the capability of that technology, therefore an increase in the interest in understanding intellectual property that goes into making that technology so that you can develop further from a societal standpoint, from a government standpoint, from a business standpoint, to really provide something that allows you to get a step ahead.
Let's talk about data privacy regulations such as GDPR, which have created significant disruption for global organizations and led already to considerable fines. Will privacy regulations still be high on the agenda by 2021?
I think so. I think that we've become, as individuals, very much more aware of the value of our personal information. I think that we've started to realize that it is being held in a variety of different places that we didn't necessarily know. And I think that there is a level of expectation that we're starting to see now for regulation that is perhaps more transparent than we've seen in the past, that takes organizations down a road of having to explain quite openly to the users how they're going to be using that information. At the same time, of course, we are increasing our use of apps, of the way in which we share information. And so again, for me, there's quite an interesting discussion to be had about the role of the individual in terms of controlling their personal information. Because if I'm sharing a whole range of different pieces of information about me, let's just say on a fitness app, for instance, you know, my weight, what I'm eating and so on, what is my expectation as to how that information is going to be used? And how do I understand how the fitness app provider might make use of that information?
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to that. We're used to making assumptions. And for me, you know, some of the discussion around Facebook, for instance, purely is based on this change that has come about. I mean, if you look back to when Facebook started, there was none of this discussion around privacy.
Right.
For me, where Facebook perhaps hasn't been as effective as it might have been in reflecting societal norms is in adapting over that period of time. So it's still using a fairly similar approach that it had at the outset to the way in which it can use data, personal data. But society has moved on. Our expectation of how it might be used has moved on. And we're seeing this lag, I think, in terms of the way that it's being used. And we have to bear in mind, of course, that the whole Facebook business model is about sharing information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's why it's free.
Right.
So again, that raises an interesting question, doesn't it? To what extent am I prepared to pay for something that protects my privacy as opposed to not pay and perhaps lose some control over it? And I think those are the sorts of discussions that legislators and regulators really need to be occupying their time with. We have seen a lot of moves, particularly as you mentioned with GDPR, but not just with that. There have been other pieces of regulation in the United States, for instance, in Asia and other parts of Europe that have, you know, built on effectively this position that GDPR created around the use and the ownership of personal information. And the next stage then, I think, is for organizations, businesses that provide service on the back of using personal information to reflect that. The speed at which they're able to do it will really determine their success in the future, I think. And one of the things that has very significantly changed is that regulators are now very much more aware of the responsibility that they have in this particular area. And I don't think that anyone expected it to pan out that way, because I remember having discussions about the use of personal information, you know, 5-10 years ago, and it wasn't a major issue. Today it is very, very different. And I think that we're expecting our legislators and regulators to do something about it. But we also have to understand that there are some massive providers of service that have grown up using this information that we've been quite happy to go along with.
Mm-hmm.
And so we must bear some responsibility ourselves as well, I think, for the way in which we, going forward, determine how our information is being used. And regulators have a role to play. Government has a role to play. So do big tech providers. But the individuals have a key role to play in that as well.
Right, right. Well, with multiple threats creating so much pressure and increasing volatility, how will that change the business and security environment?
It's a very good question. And it's one that I'm often asked. And I think it probably does require a bit of a crystal ball. I think, however, there are some things that you can say with certainty. Security for me is not, will not, going forward, be something that we can talk about in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
We've got ourselves to a point where technology, sharing of information, the role that cyber plays in facilitating businesses' competitive advantage is so intertwined that we have to take a different approach. We can't talk about applying security to these situations anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be built in from the outset. It has to be security by design. That raises interesting questions as to the role of the security team, the role of the chief information security officer, the chief security officer. Should they have separate organizations? Should they be embedded in the business? My own view, it's a personal view, is that we will see security being very much more embedded
mm-hmm.
in businesses. I think that there will always be a role for what I would term IT security. Mm-hmm. So the technical components of it, the firewalls and that element. But I also see an increase in security being managed by the risk function. So I think that going forward, we're going to see three very discrete and very distinct areas in which security is being provided, if you like, to an organization, to an individual. IT security, risk, because everything that we do is increasingly about the management of risk, and then embedding good security practice within the business. And for me, that's going to require us to engage much better with businesses. It's going to require boards, chief executives, to really understand that security can provide competitive advantage, because increasingly it's about information that has value that we're sharing. And we're starting to see already some organizations that have got that. You know, the light bulb has gone on and they are positioning their services and their offerings in that particular way from a security first standpoint. And that's an interesting shift. Mm-hmm. In terms of the way that security, I think, has been viewed in the past. I think the other big thing about it, and we talked about this slightly earlier, is just speed. You know, how can you possibly respond to some of the things that we're going to be seeing, denial of service attacks, malware, and so on. And so for me, there is an increasing role for artificial intelligence and machine learning in that particular space, probably allied with IT security, where we can not just build in resilience, but get to the point where we're predicting as well. And for me, that's the key. AI, for me, provides the key to predicting some of the attacks, some of the challenges that we're going to be seeing from a cybersecurity standpoint. And how we pull all of that together into our businesses is one of the key challenges as well. Because, of course, it's still in its infancy. When we talk about mm-hmm. AI today, we're really actually talking about machine learning. But if I look at it from the security standpoint, looking forward, say, 2 to 3 years, then I see a very real home for artificial intelligence and sophisticated machine learning, adaptive machine learning within the security environment, mm-hmm. taking away, I think, some of the challenge that we're currently seeing in that particular space. I'm thinking in particular some more mundane security tasks like, you know, network monitoring and endpoint security and that kind of thing. And so opening up opportunities for security professionals to really develop very much further, as I say, either within the risk environment or indeed within the business environment. And so I think the future in that space is incredibly bright and exciting.
Mm-hmm. You highlighted three areas of coming threat. Over the next three episodes, I'd like to sit down with you to dive more deeply into each of these threats and their impact on business. And I want you to bring back your crystal ball. Thank you again for coming and speaking with our members. We know that new threats will develop and old threats will evolve. Businesses must be fully aware of the risks the digital world will bring before they jump headfirst into adopting new technologies. A dependence on digital products and services will be unavoidable, but mitigations and preparations can and must be made. Organizations that can see through the digital illusion will succeed, while those that are fooled will not. I look forward to continuing the conversation. And in the meantime, for more information about the ISF, listeners, please visit securityforum.org.